You know, the great thing about jazz music is that it brings whole legions of people together. That's something magic about this music in general. But sometimes that closeness happens before the very first note. Why? I'll give you a hint. Marsalis, Gandoli Brothers, Montgomery Brothers, the Jones Boys, the Partridge. Oh, wait, one of those doesn't belong. And while you're mulling over which one doesn't belong, I'll tell you who does belong. It's Friday morning, kick off the weekend in the best way I know how. They're appearing live tonight and tomorrow evening at the Django in Tribeca. But they're with us here all morning long today. Please welcome Mark Whitfield and the Whitfield Family Band. I know it's early in the morning, but let me ask you a question. Was that on target for waking up, huh? If you know the name Mark Whitfield, you know he's been a marksman since 1990, since way before that, and a graduate of Berkeley. And because he has a no-walls attitude about his music, the diversity of his playing, of course, in the world of jazz, from Clark Terry and Dizzy Gillespie, on the road and live to tell about it with Carmen McRae. But also, D'Angelo, right? And so many others, and Sting, and Dave Matthews, and movies. Kansas City? Yeah. Yeah. Newark? Yeah. This morning. And the 15th recording, first one in 7 years. First, I say good morning, Mark Whitfield.
Well, good morning to you. Thanks for having us.
Why 7 years between records? You had to wait for the boys to grow up? Is that...
Oh, no. They were ready since they were babies. I don't know. I think I had a lapse in inspiration. I took some time off to get to know my wife. to reset after spending years on the road with Chris Botti. We did about 150 shows a year for almost 7 years. I needed to sort of clear the musical palate a bit and to kind of figure out what I wanted to do next. You know, a lot of musicians stay active for the sake of being active, and I commend that. I commend that spirit and that that drive. I've always been really honest about my musical choices, good, bad, or otherwise. And so I'd been wanting to, a lifelong dream of mine was to record and travel and tour with the boys. And once they brought Yasushi into my life, then we had a group, you know. It was time to start bringing the dream to reality. But it took a while for me to sort of imagine how I wanted it to be, and for all the seeds to grow.
You can tell by that very first tune, The Space Between Us, is probably almost indistinguishable when you hear the musical synergy that exists among the members of this band. Yasushi Nakamura on the bass, Mark Whitfield Jr. on the drums, and we say good morning to Davis Whitfield on the piano. Those latter two gentlemen, sons and like their daddy, also graduates of the Berklee College of Music. Mm-hmm. And man, they are making it happen.
All right.
And that first tune, as well as the tunes we're going to hear, because they've agreed, and besides we've locked the doors, they've agreed to hang out with us all morning long. which is really nice. And tonight and tomorrow evening, they're going to be in Tribeca at a place called the Django. Showtime kicks in.
Oh, about 10, 15, 10, 30, something
all
like
right.
That.
So everybody gets to go home. If you're listening now, take a nap, come back.
Oh, yeah.
Tonight weekend, or later, tomorrow night. The new record is called Grace.
Yes.
All morning, we're honored to have with us Mark Whitfield and the Whitfield Family Band. Why a family band? Because Davis Whitfield on the piano, Mark Whitfield Jr. on the drums, and honorary member Yasushi Nakamura on the bass. And they're celebrating a new recording called Grace, and they'll celebrate it live, as cool as radio is now. And CDs, there is nothing like the live experience. And it's tonight and tomorrow evening at a club called the Django in Tribeca. Thanks for getting up so damn early in the morning coming down with us.
Oh, you're kidding me. Never too early to get up and play some music and celebrate live music with you guys here at BZO. Thanks for having us.
Your first gravitation toward the guitar and the music and everything was George Benson and Breezin.
Sure.
That kind of thing?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that Jose Feliciano tune on that record?
Of course.
Affirmation?
Let's see.
That was the one. That was the one. But it got overshadowed because of the Masquerade.
Sure.
And Breezin. Yeah. But it's been quite a career for you. You've lived the life you want to live.
Oh, absolutely. It's been a nice ride so far. So far,
and
so good.
And part of those rides involves coming into contact with musical mentors, musical brothers of sorts, and sisters. And one of those brothers is Kenny Kirkland. Now, how did you and Kenny first come into contact?
Let's see now. I met, we always called him Doc Tone. I met Kenny at the very first time at Berkeley. He was playing with Branford Marcellus' quartet. And then I was fortunate enough to be hanging out with Donald Harrison, and we went down to the old Bottom Line for the Columbia Records East Meets West Festival. I happened to be there tonight, but Miles Davis came to see Branford. And Branford played. I got to hang out a little bit with Branford and with Bob Hurst and Jeff Watson, of course, the great Kenny Kirkland. And then a number of years later, when I had an opportunity to choose some musicians to make my first Verve record with, I convinced Richard Seidel that we should go out to the West Coast and record with the Tonight Show Band. And so I got to, for my album True Blue, I was able to get in the studio with Jeff Watts again. With Branford, with Nicholas Payton, with Rodney Whitaker, and of course, the great Kenny Kirkland.
See, now, it'd probably be some of you laying in bed just listening to words, but you have to understand something here, that the smile that I'm seeing on this man's face tells volumes about what that time in your musical life was all about, and every time you think back about it, how great it is. And this particular tune is kind of a think back for you, isn't it?
Sure. So, you know, I think when I look back at my musical evolution, my development, there are certain points where I really thought I had figured out how I wanted to sound. And just when I had it together, Branford's quartet came out with Crazy Music, and I was like, man, I got to start over. You know, and so I was just chasing after that sound, understanding that spirit, and it seemed like it was so complicated, and it certainly was from a technical standpoint, but watching them do what they did, I got to understand it was just the way that they played, the way they communicated, and the way that they're willing to take chances and expand their own vocabulary.
And is it those kind of chances that we'll be able to hear right now as you do Blue D.A.?
In a matter of speaking, yes. Yeah. So when I was tasked with this project of creating a record based on different blues forms. So in this sense, Blue D.A. is two blues, two 32-bar blues happening at the same time in two different keys. So it happens in the key in the key of A and the key of G flat, and it has a bridge, and it happens simultaneously. So it sounds like a regular blues, but what's really happening is it's happening in two keys. So in that way, it was a little twist to the song.
See, and here's a listener sitting in front of you who wears loafers because he can't tie his shoes, drink a cup of coffee, and finish getting ready for work at the same time. You're going to play 2 32-bar blues at the same time.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen.
And the DA, of course, is Davis Alexander.
There you
Whitfield.
Go. Mark Whitfield and the Whitfield Family Band. Good morning. Thank you.
You missed your exit, didn't you? You did. I know you did. You just had to tap it, drive it. You drove right by the exit.
You can blame it on Mark Whitfield and the Whitfield Family Band. Whew. Serious. Serious stuff.
That was great. Ugh.
And they're celebrating a new recording. It's called Grace. And they're going to grace the stage of the Django Club there in Tribeca tonight. And tomorrow evening starts about 10 in the evening. Want to once again say good morning. And if you're just tuning in, man, you've already missed some space, some what, Gary? Some space between us and Blue DA, which was not one but two 32-bar blues going at the same time. I'm still trying to do the math. That's why musicians are great mathematicians. Mark Whitfield and the Whitfield Family Band, good morning and thank you for joining us here today. The band called the Family Band because the father, joined by two sons, want to say, Mark, good morning to you. Mark on the drums and also Davis Whitfield on the piano. And the honorary brother from another mother, Yasushi Nakamura on the bass.
Amen.
And it's a bad band, I got to tell you folks. But it was another morning program that kind of gave birth to this family band on Good Morning America. And Mark, you were 3-4 years old, I think, when that happened. I think it was Good Morning America, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. It was Good Morning America, 1994, Thanksgiving edition.
Oh. And,
chime in there, son.
Yeah, I think I was the first time I was 4 years old. That was the first experience up here. Yeah.
And you had it going.
I don't remember too much about having it going, but I was trying to hang in there.
He played his tune, took a drum solo, did a nice little interview with Charlie Gibson.
Wow. Not bad. And Charlie Gibson was a jazz fan, too.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
And he called me out for not paying him.
He did?
Yeah, and I was like, I'll give you all the Power Ranger toys. He's like, Power Ranger toys, yeah.
You know, I was easy to negotiate with.
At four. Still pretty easy to negotiate with.
But you know, the deal is, you know, I'm learning, even at the age of 67, I'm learning that the genesis of so much music can come from the drums. I mean, Mark Sr., you know this from playing with Art Blakey and some of those masters like that. But I watched a piece recently where Bruno Mars was asked, you know, what was the genesis of Uptown Funk? And he said, let me show you where it started. And he went over and he sat at the drums and he said, this is where it started. And then the interviewer said, how long did it take to come up with Uptown Funk? 2.5 years. 2.5 years. Because he said, we kept throwing it out. We kept throwing it away and going in other directions. And he said, but then we would come back because there was something about that piece of music that kept bringing us back home. And it, come on, man, let's try this again. Now, does the Whitfield Family Band ever come into those kind of circles where you find a tune and you've worked through it and it's like, let's go here instead of here? You know, even though some audiences may go, I didn't know that was jazz, right?
Yeah, I don't know if we have, if it took quite that long, but there was a number of months. I remember Mark would come out of his room when he was still living at home. At this point, Davis is going to Berkeley, and he'd come out into the living room, and if I was practicing, I'd be saying, "Hey, man, what do you think about this riff?" And he's like, "Oh God, here's that riff again." He'd go back in his room, like
he just turned around,
like, "Man!" But it actually became Afro Samurai, you know. Yeah, but at first he was just like, "Oh God, it's that those chords, Jesus," you know. So, yeah. So that was his way of saying, "Throw it out and come back to it 2 years later."
We were like, "Yeah, work it out."
Hey, but it's a killer tune now, so it worked, you know.
Yeah.
But see, it's interesting for the audience to understand exactly, you know, how a tune comes together, because the rigidity of the Berkeley environment can nurture that, nourish it, but it can also maybe step on it too.
Oh, you're right, in both ways. You know, at first, if you have a great idea, I'm not, although I've written a lot of music, I don't fancy myself a composer. You know, I've written vehicles to play on and things that I think help express myself, but that's not what I would say is my strong point. Yet when I have an idea, it comes to me kind of in its entirety. And every once in a while, like we're talking about this song, it was just a riff. And while I couldn't figure out what would come next, the riff was so strong I wouldn't let it go. And that was the rub. He's like, "Come on, Dad, you got to, you know, something else to it." But oftentimes, you know, when I was going to school, you kind of get that idea that if it doesn't come all together, don't discard a good idea, just put it aside, and come back to it. And thank God for that, because if I'd given up on it, you know, you give up on a good tune. And whatever comes from that, sometimes one really good song in a performance leads to an idea which leads to an entire suite of good music. And so thank God I didn't let it go. And I think that's a popular or a good sentiment, a good lesson for students to learn, is that no good idea should ever go to waste.
And a lot of good ideas come in the moment.
Right.
Which is all the more reason why folks should stop down tonight and tomorrow night at the Django in Tribeca, because the show starts about 10 o'clock, mm-hmm. and it's this kind of synergy that is happening live. Tell me about the tune Fortress, and then I guess we'll hear that this morning.
Yeah, you know, we alluded to earlier that my first guitar inspiration was a wonderful sort of unknown singer guitar player named George Benson. I was, you know, 10 years old, just got him. My dad brought me a guitar, and you know, my brother gave me a guitar, and my dad had taken me to a guitar shop and brought me an electric guitar, and I'm starting to get into it, and I turn on PBS, and there was George Benson with his Breezin' Band and the Boston Pops Orchestra, and when I turned it on, that they were playing Affirmation, and it was just, I sat there for 45. Between George, I know he sang This Masquerade. But at that time, he was still really just sort of playing a lot, you know, and yeah. he may have sung this masquerade. He might have gotten Summertime in there. But I was mesmerized by his ridiculous guitar playing and by the bass player, who we knew, Stanley Banks, who was playing and keeping time with a tambourine on his foot at the same time. Of course, you know, I was mesmerized by those cats.
That's a fortress, isn't it?
And so, oh, for sure. And so this song and this riff kind of comes out of my appreciation for George, and also through the eyes of another guitar player, another mentor of mine, who was also a fan of George's, the great Kevin Eubanks.
Ah.
And so the introductory riff is something that's very reminiscent of what I admire from Kevin's early recordings and my time with him, and the way that we both see George. And so that's where Fortress comes from.
Mark Whitfield Jr. on the drums, Davis Whitfield on piano, Yasushi Nakamura on the bass, and Mark Whitfield on guitar. The Family Band, live on WBGO this morning. That's what Grover Washington used to say, man. When it was a, whenever it was a great performance, it would end and he would go, ouch!
Nice.
Ouch! Right? Fortress. Whew. The Whitfield Family Band with us this morning at WBGO and on stage tonight and tomorrow evening at the Django in Tribeca. And if you're just tuning in, a couple of inspirations. George Benson and Kevin Eubanks for that tune right there called The Fortress. The amazing thing about this man and his family is the fact that, you know, he pays it forward by looking backward. What am I talking about? Well, for about 11 years, now going on 12, joining other folks that you may know, like Joe Lovano and Ralph Peterson and Terry Lynn Carrington and others, he goes back and goes in and does clinics and workshops for the next generation moving their heads like the pigeons in the park at the Berklee College of Music. And I tell you that as we get ready for a worldwide Jazz Appreciation Month here at WBGO. And we certainly appreciate the Whitfield Family Band with us here this morning. Davis Whitfield on piano. A Berklee graduate.
Amen, amen.
Father Mark, a Berklee graduate on guitar. And on the drums, Mark Whitfield Jr., a Berklee graduate. And Yasushi Nakamura on the bass, an honorary family member, and a Berklee graduate.
What year did you graduate? 2003, that's right.
I'm Gary Walker. I'm working on my degree at the Bloomfield Barber College.
He's right behind
you
me.
You can tell it's working out. But we continue on with the family band. Yep. And Davis, let me ask you a quick question. Who some of the folks that you listen to, some of the folks that have inspired you over the course of your career? Because not only are you... obviously, you've heard it this morning, folks, if you've been paying attention, a fine pianist, but also pretty good on those keyboards, too, man.
Oh, well, thanks, man. I really really appreciate that.
Plus, listen to that voice, man. Listen to that voice. Tell me he doesn't have a career in radio.
Warms my heart. but no, seriously, I really listen to, like, three people a lot. And those three people are Thelonious Monk, Jackie Byard, and McCoy Tyner. I listen to them almost religiously. It's kind of crazy. But in terms of, like, keyboard stuff, not, like, acoustic piano things, really what I hear mostly, what I check out is Herbie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because, oh, my God. And also, you know... I really, really like what I've been really into lately, and this is going to be weird for these guys to hear this, but Joe Zawinul's synthesizer stuff, like that really out synth stuff. Yeah, I'm really into that. I like that.
Yeah, it was like a wall of keyboards.
Yeah.
No matter what town he was playing in, the streetlights all dimmed when Joe was playing.
Right.
Right? Because exactly. It took that much power for a Joe Zawinul concert.
Right. Yeah, I haven't seen him at the airport in Istanbul trying to move all those people. Man, they charge him 8,000 miles in overweight.
But see, you mentioned Herbie Hancock. Now, your daddy here was signed, one of the first artists signed when Herbie started his own record label.
Oh, the Transparent Music Label. So you're right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Must have heard something.
Oh, yeah. I was always around begging him to let me play with him. Yeah. And it's funny. I used to do this Monday night thing at a place called the Village Underground. I had a little trio there. I used to start out with a quartet. It was myself, Ruben Rogers, Donald Edwards, and Anthony Wanzi. We were doing kind of an electric thing, and for a while, Herbie and Roy Hargrove would come and sit in with us and play. Herbie came a couple, and they played a lot. I think a lot of guys around my age, from my crew of guys that came with the Jazz Futures, and they were starting to get into more, doing more electric things and bringing in elements of cats from other styles of music. And it was a nice little place, kind of a laboratory, underground place where you could do it off the radar. And so I think those are the first times when Herbie actually really got to see me starting to try to grow. From starting to look at music through more of a kaleidoscope instead of through a telescope, and so that's when I think that's what I would imagine. He's like, okay, maybe now you're ready to do some things, and for us to collaborate on a few things. So he played on a record that I made with another guitar player, a guy named JK, a record called Soul Conversation. Herbie played a couple of tracks on that record, and he blessed me with the opportunity to release that record and a live album called Raw, with that featured Donald Edwards and Robert Glasper and Brandon Owens on bass.
See, now this was Robert Glasper before, his name was all in caps, right? I mean, nobody knew who he was.
Sure.
Is there that, because where I'm going
sure.
here,
yeah,
is there that opportunity that still exists today for that off the radar? But I love the, where you can take maybe a microscopic approach and make it kaleidoscopic.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's lots of places happening. In fact, that's kind of what the Django is turning into, this place, this club in Tribeca. They have a lot of different things going on. But my involvement there stems from, association with a guy named Ken Fowler, who's been booking the club. And he approached me. He said, if you have something you're doing that's a little different, a place you'd like to just do some experiment, we'd like to have you come in and try that. And that's kind of how it started. Of course, this weekend is special, tonight, tomorrow is special because we're doing it with the family band. And so it's our own, special brand of experimentation. But I think that's important, that there are always going to be, venues where guys can come in and not always play what they're expected to play, but just kind of play what they envision themselves creating at some point in their future. In order for your future to happen, you got to start working on it now.
And how cool is it for a father to see that spontaneity and that invention from two sons that... for most fathers, that kind of spontaneity means, don't make me get in that back seat as you're going down the road, right? Because it's getting out of hand. But here, you've got a musical synergy that is really something, and it's to be found on this new recording called Grace. Mark, you have also been part of... I forget the Kenny Garrett record for Pushing the World Away from a couple of years ago. I got nominated for a Grammy Award.
Yes, I played a couple tracks on that record.
Yeah.
It was a great experience for sure. Yeah.
How is it playing with your dad?
The synergy that you talked about, is what I always say when someone asks me how it is to describe playing with my dad or playing with my brother and now actually playing with Yasushi. It's as if we speak about what we're gonna play, but we don't speak about it. So,
yeah,
we feel it happen.
It's what you expect, and at the same time, it's not, because we don't know that it's gonna happen. You know, so
you hear that, folks? Because we don't know.
Yeah. So it's a lot of fun
until it happens. See, and that's why. There's lines at places like the Django. I mean, because that, when it's really working, you know, and sometimes it sounds like four or five different guys that are talking amongst themselves, but there's this, what Matt Wilson, fine drummer, calls the big moat is out front here between makers of music and appreciators of music, i.e. the audience. And it should be almost you spend the night not only creating amongst yourselves and smiling and stuff, but you also try to shorten that distance between yourselves and the audience, right?
That should be the goal.
Yeah. Well, it certainly has been the goal this morning. And the Whitfield Family Band, I want to thank Mark, Mark Jr. I want to thank Davis, and also Yasushi Nakamura, the other brother, right?
Woohoo!
The other brother. The other brother. I think he's in the band. The new record is called Grace, and they will grace the stage tonight. And tomorrow evening starts up about 10 o'clock in Tribeca, a place called the Django. Do you ever get to play with Ken Fowzer? He's a pretty bad cat too.
Yeah. I get the session at Smalls. Sure. He's a good musician for sure. Good dude.
So, last hour, if you were paying attention, you heard a piece called Fortress, inspired by a couple of Mark's good friends, one being Kevin Eubanks and the other being George Benson. Probably your first official and unofficial mentor.
Absolutely.
And later on in life, a very good friend. In fact,
for sure.
It was George, wasn't it, that recommended you should take this gig with McDuff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And what is Double Trouble?
Double Trouble has to do with that very situation. George, long story short, he recommended that I seek that I join McDuff's band.
Yeah.
And I joined the group my first road trip with the band. We were driving from Harlem, USA to Minneapolis. And we had, you know, whatever time we were supposed to leave, that sort of slipped past us. And we finally left Jack's place in Harlem with basically enough time to drive straight through and get there in time, like maybe an hour or so before the show started, to Minneapolis. Had to be 16 hours if I think back. It's a pretty long drive. Of course, the van broke down in South Bend, Indiana, a few days before the Notre Dame Penn State football game in South Bend. That's only important because there were no vans available to rent.
Yeah,
so we ended up in a Pontiac Grand Am, five guys, guitar, saxophone, luggage for five guys for, you know, I don't know, a couple of weeks. And this brand new amplifier that George had given me wouldn't fit. So it had to sit in the van at the transmission shop for the next 2 weeks. And so Double Trouble was one. I leave my amp behind, and two, we arrived at the club at 10:15 to start 3 hour-and-a-half sets. It started at 10:30.
Life out on the road.
And trial by fire. You know, for his team, Jack's like, what? But you've been through something.
So we'll hear Double Trouble, and this is once again from Grace. Mark Whitfield, man, a good hang this morning.
Oh, man, thanks for having us.
A good hang and a real kickoff to my weekend.
Oh, beautiful.
And I'm sure the other folks that are listening at 88.3 FM and also online at WBGO.org. Once again, Mark Whitfield and the Whitfield Family Band in Jazz 88. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's the Whitfield Family Band that you've been listening to. Mark Whitfield on guitar, Davis Whitfield, piano, Mark Whitfield Jr., drums, Yasushi Nakamura on bass. The new recording, Grace. And they've been gracing us all morning on Morning Jazz. And it's the best way we know to thank our listeners for supporting all the things we do day in, day out at 88.3 FM and WBGO.org. Tonight and tomorrow evening, the energy, the synergy, the good time, the smiles, and all this great artistry on stage at the Django in Tribeca. Starts up tonight about 10 o'clock, same time for tomorrow night. So if you go and you enjoy yourself, remember where you heard it first, right here at WBGO Newark. Thanks again to the Whitfield Family Band.